Absolutely fabulous celebrities with me this afternoon. So what I'm going to do straight away, I'm going to cross to the United Kingdom. I've got Paul Melba with me in the middle studio, and I have a mystery celebrity with me. Very good afternoon to you, mystery celebrity.
Oh, hello. What a absolute pleasure it is for me to be talking to her over the airwaves into Southern Europe, the Mediterranean, I believe.
It is indeed the Mediterranean. Oh. Now, I believe we have we've given just the one clue that you have connections with ornithology.
Well, in my time. Would you excuse me a moment? One moment. Green side up. Sorry.
Green side up.
In my time, I've been involved in many breeding. programs, which has associated me very strongly with the world of ornithology.
So the first clue.
One second, please. Green side up. I have some people here laying me a new lawn, and they've never done it before.
Would this be for a particular animal, or maybe some?
Oh, of course, yes. For my new aviary, my mega-sized aviary.
Ah, okay. Now, so there's your first clue, Paul. Mega-sized aviary.
Now, does the chap that I'm talking to, has he had any sort of experience with large birds? Is this a large bird? It's not a small one, or even, I would even say, it's not the size of a robin. It's not the size of a robin. It's the size of an ostrich or something like that.
Large bird?
A large bird.
Well, the walls are...
Has it got teeth?
There was Emily in Benalmadena. She was very large.
Yes. did she have teeth?
Well, actually, it wasn't that she had teeth, but the variety that we're talking about, Mr. Melba.
Yes.
How nice to be in touch with you again after all these years.
I've yet to find out who I'm talking about.
There's usually a bill associated at the end of the evening. We always have to settle the bill, don't we?
Oh, I see.
The bill, yeah. No teeth, but certainly a bill.
Yes.
You know, Vince, I think Quentin. Mr. Bell was on to me.
Well, you never...
I think, actually, I am. Actually.
I have a feeling it might be.
It's not the Colonel. It's, just a minute. Give me a clue again.
How about... Could we give a clue, maybe the face of a clock? Would that be okay?
Face of a clock?
Clock face. That's going back to maybe your roots, perhaps.
Is it Lieutenant Colonel Clifton?
Bernie Clifton? One could think of a suspension bridge.
Is it Lieutenant Colonel Clifton, Bernard Clifton?
I believe that's Rear Admiral Melba.
It is indeed, and it's so delightful.
Melba, you got me.
Well, Bernie, this is brilliant, and it's so nice to have the both of you here over the airwaves.
Vince, would you just remind me again who I am?
Bernie Clifton. Seriously, there will be those that, the minute we mention the ostrich... Can I get you to pinpoint when you had this idea? When did it come to you?
Well, it's not my idea. It's an old circus trick, Vince, that has been around for, hundreds of years. That they harking back to the hobby horse and what they used to do in medieval times. This is absolutely true. The villagers used to dress up in these strange things to drive out the spirit of winter. And welcome the spirit of spring. That's absolutely true. And it developed from that into some form of entertainment. And if you read the book of the Elephant Man, one of the
guys... Is that Merrick? Merrick, was it?
Eric...
Somebody Merrick played that.
Eric Merrick. And I often wonder what ever happened to him. You know, he made one film, it was a big hit, and then nothing. So that's what it derived from, Vince.
Well, now, you see, I think I did tell you when we were speaking privately that you inspired so many people to do different things and, you know, running the marathons and that sort of thing. And you've done this, haven't you?
Yeah. When did the first... I'd had the duck, as we fondly call the ostrich, for several years. And the first London Marathon was staged in 1981. And a couple of fellas from Wolverhampton ran it in a rhinoceros skin. And I thought, well, if they can do it, I really ought to have a go again, because I used to play a lot of sport and did a bit of running when I was a youngster. And so I started training for the 82 marathon, and we had a lightweight ostrich bred. And the next thing, I'm running around London on this big yellow duck, and it became a habit, Vince. And it wasn't so much, and Paul will bear this out, Paul's a bit of an athlete, it wasn't so much the marathon, it was the lap of honour afterwards.
Yeah, lovely. I went and bought one, but I'm pretty sure that yours was probably a lot more expensive. And the one that I got, I only went to a half marathon, and it bogged me down. I had to shed it in the end, halfway round.
I remember, I think it was about 1983, 84, when it rained heavily on the London Marathon. And as we went round the circuit, I was the only one gaining weight. You know, I'm delighted, Vince, to talk to Paul again. I've seen him for many years.
Do you know what? I was talking immediately. My mind goes back to your living room and having a nice meal. You cooked a nice meal for us, you and your wife, and that, and treated us beautifully. And we stayed longer than we should have done, really. We always stayed there. But as always in show business, we all have little bits of banter. And we talk about what's gone and what we did and all the business, and it went into all sorts of hours. But it was a memorable time, and I don't know why we've lost contact with each other. It's a show business cliche. You must call round sometime, but yeah. There's certain people in the game that I'd love to see again and have a cup of tea or something to eat and just banter and see what you've been doing.
Well, I think what's happened, Paul, isn't it, is the way that the business now is so different from the business that you and I knew 20, 30 years ago. It's totally polarized, and it's so bitty. You don't do summer seasons, you don't socialize, you don't get to have a regular game of golf with people, because we're all over the shop. It's gone away, the business that we used to inhabit.
The motorway was the thing, or before the motorway, it was the A41 that ran into London, and there was those motorway cafes where you get the large mug of tea,
yeah.
and a sandwich with two, rinds of bacon in it, but you'd enjoy it. It was the most enjoyable sandwich and cup of tea.
Jack's
of
Cafe, course, on the A1, I'm right. Doing my pantomime there.
That's right, that's right. And you'd hear them, you'd meet them in various states of dress, some were still with the makeup on, yeah. And all that bit, it was great. It was great.
But that's gone, and probably gone forever, but happy times. There is another form of entertainment out there now, but... And we're doing our, but we're still batting, Paul.
We are, yeah. I'm still there.
Let me just
bits and pieces.
Let me just try and tie something together, because Paul is a huge Liverpool fan, and you're a huge football fan, aren't you, Bernie?
Well, more than I am connected with football. I'm sure that's why he asked me the question with soccer. I am actually a rugby league, born and bred in St Helens, and
loved my rugby league.
And the other night we beat Australia with the Tri Nations in Sydney.
And it was a St Helens lad that did the business for us.
That did what?
It was a St Helens player that came out of that bunch. He was the star, wasn't he?
Absolutely, Wellens and Sean Long. I mean, there's an Australian there. He's a bit like a ship, Willie Mason, and he hit Sean Long with his elbow.
Oh, I saw that. Nasty.
Of course, just above the eye, as you would if you're an Australian and you saw an Englishman.
Yeah, you'd hit him.
Unfortunately,
something to do, isn't it?
Sean recovered, and with the help of Wellens and the rest of the team, it was a famous historical win to beat the Aussies.
Oh, wasn't it?
But yeah. I am connected with soccer now, in terms, Vince, your question, in terms of the England football team.
Yes,
yeah.
In a strange way. Can I give you a clue?
Yes, but I know. So will you ask Paul? Because remember, I you did tell me this.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Paul, is I'm going to give you an indication of my connection at the moment with the England football team. And here goes. I've just got to put the phone down. Wait a minute.
I know what's coming. That's why I'm laughing.
Well...
I think our listeners might know now as well.
And I haven't even got a trombone.
Oh, you did it well.
What kind of sad person would keep a trombone by the phone? No, I'm actually the trombonist, Paul.
Yeah, really?
with the England band, the official FA sponsored England band that travels to all the England internationals. And there's about 12 of us, all Sheffield based, and I'm the one on the end that's miming.
Oh yeah,
but it brings.
I forgot my instrument.
Brings a lot. Brings a lot of fun to the fixtures, though, doesn't it?
No, you know something. I think we were talking about this the other day. Brass bands. Now there's a thing. How are you? I love brass bands. I don't know. I've always liked them. Oh. There's this sort of melancholy about them, and this sort of lovely warmth about a brass band. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting older now. You know, but I do feel that when I hear a brass band, everything goes shh, shh. I've got to listen to this. It's go takes me into the hills and that.
I love it. Well, it all came about a couple of years ago, 18 months ago now. I do a program on Sunday afternoons on BBC Radio Sheffield. And I always have a trombone in the studio, Paul, because I think a trombone is such a funny instrument.
It's
such a comedy prop. And the lads that run the England band just heard and said, would you like to become a dishonourable member? So I said, yes, but I can't play the trombone. He said, well, we only largely do one tune, and it's The Great Escape, the one that you've just heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, but I can't play it. He said, well, we'll come along, and we'll give you the slide positions for the tune of The Great Escape.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Which is actually 4-3-1-1, 1-1-3-1-4, 3-3-1-2-1-2-4.
Yeah.
So what I did, I had these written out on a big piece of paper, practiced. And when I went to the first match, it was at Old Trafford, and we're at the back of the cop, and I actually tucked the sheet of paper under the collar of the man who was standing in front of me. The trouble is, when he went to the gents, I had to go with him.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think the Queen would like it? You know, when you were presented to the Queen?
Yeah.
Now, do you think if it was done again and you had your trombone with you, do you think she'd appreciate that?
Well, I think she plays a fair trombone, doesn't she?
Yes, yeah. Well, she's getting on now, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
she's getting on now.
She's got the lips for it.
The trombone, by God. I mean, I don't know. You say it's a comical thing, trombone. You're moving the hands. But if you get them in unison, three or four of them, they do certainly make a band, don't they? Make an orchestra.
I
love to hear that bottom, you know, the full bottom on a trombone.
Well, there's a connection between a full bottom and the brass and a bit of wind.
Oh, a bit of wind. Oh, it's all connection.
Yeah. You know what,
flatulence comes into it.
I knew you were a society entertainer.
Yeah. It's a musical flatulence. And we have it here in the studio. And the B flat. He does it in what? C sharp?
C sharp.
Here, and I mean, apparently the great sort of Ted Heath trombonist, Don Lusher, died recently. And, I mean, he was an absolute master. And I'm going back to when with Louis Armstrong and the All-Stars, and he had Trummer Young was his trombonist. It is a great instrument, as Paul said. It is a great instrument, Paul, because it has got that kind of that mellowness, hasn't it?
Well, it's a full... When you get a trombone section and they play, that bottom is a most marvellous feel when the trombones come in.
It's beautiful, that rich, rich, fat sound.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, brass band. I'm into brass bands, swing bands. I was up in Blackpool a few nights ago, Paul, at the North Pier. You can imagine Blackpool in early November. We all had to, all the audience, we had to rope ourselves together.
Oh, yeah.
And go up the pier.
I know it well.
go up the pier, you know, against the gale. But there was a big swing orchestra on there, the Las Vegas show, and it's just great.
Can I just ask you about the show that you're doing then for Radio Sheffield? How did it come about, and how do you present it? What sort of things do you do?
Well, I sat in for a few Saturdays a couple of years ago for somebody that... Paul would know. And this was a Saturday morning thing. And it's all to do with music of middle of the road music, if you like.
Yes.
And then we have competitions, and we have a celebration spot, and we have phone-ins, and it's great fun. I mean, I don't know about you, I just love the radio as a medium. It's so relaxed.
Well, I think everybody that comes to the studio here, by the time they've been with me a couple of hours, or certainly, you know, an hour to an hour and a half, they just don't believe how quickly the time goes and how enjoyable it can be.
I think as well, and you can listen to me on Sunday afternoons, but of course you wouldn't be listening to your programme, would you? bbc.co.uk/South Yorkshire, okay. He added quickly.
You're on the internet, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try and do that on Sunday.
It'll be between 3 and 6 your time.
Right, okay.
And I think the radio is it. It's just a great medium. But what about you, Paul? You're dabbling in the radio. You must.
Well, no. What we're doing is, some years ago, well, some a few years ago, when we came over here, I listened to the radio, and Vince was on doing his introduction, if you like, to what he was going to do. You know, later on, he was going to do the radio, and he's had experience over the 40 years. Now, 40 years ago, I met him in Liverpool, and he was a DJ then. And of course, now he's been experienced in this business and in broadcasting and that. So he was doing this broadcast, and he said, "Of interest, I found out Paul Melber and that. We want to get him in and do a couple of hours with me." So I came up, did a couple of hours, it was successful, and since then we've been coming in every Monday, and I do my impressions, but I do on all the characters that I've done over the years. We cover them, the autobiography of them, you know, with just a short, if you like, scenario of each one. For instance, Marlon Brando we've done today, and we've done what he's covered and how he started in life and the dips and the highs in his life. And we've talked about that. Last week it was Doris Day, and we just go through each one, and if I can do an impression of them, I do them, you know, the repertoire.
That week when we did The Invisible Man, that was brilliant.
That was great. Everybody.
That was.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I've always preferred Paul's Doris Day. But staying with you just for a second, if I can, Paul,
yeah.
It's just I just remember that obviously the people that aren't aware that the wealth of your impressions. And I was in Bob Monkhouse's company once, and he was so sort of congratulatory of your talents, and he was talking about you a great length of the depth, and you know the research that you did. What's your favourite? I mean, I know you're going to do loads and loads of voices. Who was always your number one?
People often ask me that, and I've got a stock answer for that, and I think you would too if you were doing impressions. It's the enthusiasm you throw to a new impression. It's the enthusiasm, and it's sort of new, it's exciting, and you want to, and once you start getting round the vocal arrangements of it, you know, and the adjustments of your voice, and you get it, it's a marvellous feel. It's, you know, it's like winning the pools, it's fabulous.
And tell me something.
You get one voice, but
this Christmas, Paul, I'm doing a pantomime in Windsor at the Theatre Royal. Could you perhaps give me an inkling of someone who might be in one of the boxes during one of the performances?
You're going on and off here.
Oh, I see. Right, I'm going to the Theatre Royal in Windsor.
Oh, Prince. Yes, I think Prince. I think I could arrange to come, and if I can get Camilla out of the cot, I think I could arrange to come over. And it's most alarming. This people often ask me to do things like this, and of course it's bloody Camilla, you know. So, She's always in tag, I think. If I can stop her drinking, I'll come. or it could be, see, James Mason could be there, throwing something else at you. But you see, it's according to if I can get out of the box in time, you see. That's it.
James Mason, you know, Paul, when I did my Royal Variety,
yeah,
Vince, you like this, James Mason was one of the guests. Compers came on and introduced the next act, and he could have done with you that night, because he had to introduce this Russian ballet couple, and instead of taking notes on with him, he totally, and this was in front of the Queen, he tried to sort of wing it without notes and lost it, and he said, and this is, I'd rather you did this than me, Paul, but this is James Mason saying, and what he actually said was, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd now like to introduce from the Bolshoi Ballet," and there was a pause, and he went to could not get it back, and in the end, they did the classic, the Russian musical director, cupped his hands and shouted up to James Mason the names of these two ballet dancers.
Oh, Christ.
And James did the classic who?
Okay.
And he wept. And in the end, he just put his hand out and walked off. And the embarrassment at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane, you could cut it with a knife. So the moral there is, always take notes.
Always take notes, even if it's just a couple of lines. And especially, I remember saying, it was the second Royal Command I did at Victoria Palace. And Terry Wogan was doing a bit of business then. Of course, he wasn't a big name then. He'd just come off radio. And he was so frightened when he went on. I said, I was given a little thing from Freddie Starr. He said, before you go on, in Freddie Starr's voice, get a sweet, a barley sugar, and put it in your mouth and suck it.